go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in.
Sure how to go from here. But we will attempt to bring us
mark to
yes.
Mark.
Let me get here.
Salt to Jesus.
poured out. He just poured out that spirit that cannot be contained. He's poured out something in this sanctuary that we cannot contain. That's why we express ourselves the way that we do in the house of the Lord this morning. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Lord, you're worthy. Hallelujah. 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 If we could give God a hand clap of praise, we're going to ask Brother Mike to pray for the offering.
Stop us. And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? What can stand against?
Thank you, Jesus. Ah, there's such a sweet presence of the Lord in this place. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to be here. Lift our hands, our voices in praise and acclamation unto you. And we just take a few moments in your own way, whether you feel comfortable lifting your hands, lifting your voice, whatever you feel comfortable doing and expressing your love and appreciation to the Lord. Can you do that right now for just a few moments? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you for standing. You may be seated. Very happy and excited to announce that near the end of service this morning, we're going to have opportunity to take Ellie Campbell down in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Pleasure having with us. They came into the area for a children's ministry conference that some of the folks here from this local assembly were able to go to, Investing in Futures. Brother and Sister Gifford, not only do they pastor a great revival church in Waycross, Georgia, but he's also the Sunday school director for the Georgia district. And so he was able to come, and I found out he was coming. I kind of twisted his arm a little bit. Said, man, I'd love to have you come and stay at least a day at the house and visit with us, and love to have you preach for us on Sunday morning. And he had already made flight arrangements, and he said, well, let me see if I can change some things. And so he was able to rearrange his schedule and stay, and they were with us yesterday. It's so good to have him here. Some time ago, I talked on different kinds of people you need to have in your life, and one of those individuals that I mentioned is you need to have a Barnabas. You need to have someone you can confide in, someone that you're working alongside that can share in the struggles and the the good times and the bad times. And I will say this, Brother Gifford is one of my closest friends. And we many times get on the phone together and share our successes and our failures and our frustrations and our celebrations. And it's good to have somebody like that in your life that you can feel comfortable with. And it's just good folks to be around. And last night, as we were enjoying the nice weather, I don't know if many of you were out last night, but it was quite beautiful. And we were sitting on the back deck of the house. And we just started singing some old hymns and choruses we grew up on. And as we were singing the newer song, if you will, Our God is Greater, I started remembering an old song that I sang growing up as a kid. My God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. He's bigger than all my troubles. He's bigger than anything. I got to thinking, we serve a God who's bigger than any baggage of your past, any situation, any addiction, any disease. He's bigger. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful that this morning we're going to take another one down in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Once and more, identifying that the name of Jesus is greater. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We will, after we have taken her down the precious name, we will present to her a baptismal certificate. And she has been in Bible study, Search for Truth Bible study with Sister Sue Ann. And Sister Sue Ann has been diligently teaching that, a group of ladies. And so we're just thankful that God always rewards faithfulness. Always. Sister Ellie has come to her understanding and revelation of her need to be baptized in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And we are excited to be able to do that this morning. Amen. Right now, I want my good friend to come, and if he wants to impose upon his wife to do anything special, well, that's certainly, I'll put that between them. But I just want him to come and feel his liberty and preach you the word of the Lord this morning. Can you stand to your feet? And I know you're not applauding him. I know you're applauding God's work in his life. But can you make him feel welcome to the pulpit here at First Apostolic Church of Sam?
Well, give Jesus a big hand clap of praise. Come on, let's give the Lord a big hand clap. God, we magnify you. Ain't nobody like Jesus. Come on, can we get a witness in the house? There is nobody like Jesus. Come on, he'll be your bread when you're hungry. He's your water when you're thirsty. He's a friend when you're lonely. He is our great Redeemer. He's our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. We magnify you in this house today, Jesus.
Amen. You can be seated. It is a privilege to be here with you today in this awesome city right here in, I guess this will be Southern Illinois. I was privileged to be here just a few years ago and looking around and seeing all of the beautiful landscaping. Sometimes when you live in a certain part of the country, you kind of take it for granted. I can just be honest with you. Living in the South, way in South Georgia, where everything is flat, and we don't have 68-degree weather in the month of August. I know you get your snow, and I know that can be frustrating, but thank the Lord for where you're at. This is beautiful country. Thankful to have my wife with me today. I don't go many places without my best friend, and she is going to sing when we get done ministering the word of the Lord and in the altar service today. But it is good to have her, and I'm missing our two daughters that are normally with us. They're growing up so fast. Rachel and Brooke are now 18 and 13, and my word, I'm wondering where time is going. It seems like we were here just a few years ago, and they were with us. And when we got on that airplane to leave for Illinois, I thought we would feel like we're leaving part of us behind. And it is good to be with one of my closest friends and his family, his wife and kids. And you guys are blessed at this church to have a dynamic pastor's wife young family to lead and to serve. We were with them for many, many years. Actually, Brother Wells and my wife grew up together in the same church in Fruitland Park, Florida. But he and I became friends a long time ago, and when he was leaving the Florida district, it was a big loss for the Florida district, but a great gain for this city and the Illinois district. And I'm glad to be friends with people of God, people of integrity, people who believe in doing it the right way. And I can tell you this, when I talk to Brother Wells, which is nearly every week and sometimes a few times in a week, he brags about this church. He loves this city, he and his wife, and they're passionate about this church and seeing the church grow, and they love the history of the church. I believe any pastor loves where you've been at, but you've got to love where you're heading to. And you guys are part of something awesome and something great. And so when you're getting behind this man and woman of God, you know that you're behind something, and God has called them, and God's called you. I can tell you this firsthand, being a pastor. There's no minister, no preacher, no singer, nothing that can happen in ministry that's going to be successful without people of God. And so it takes people of God. You guys are the ones that really are the heartbeat that makes this thing happen, and it's exciting. The name of this church is First Apostolic Church. Is that correct, Brother Tom? First Apostolic Church. What a great church. I pulled up outside, and I'd forgot about how beautiful this place is. And I thought, man, this is just gorgeous. And so I'm looking forward to it as it's continuing to grow, and God's going to do some mighty, mighty things. I don't oftentimes get a chance to drive around during church, you know, like you guys. When it's church time, I'm at church. I was a little, I wasn't late for church, but I was kind of taking my time coming, and we drove around a little bit. I seen a lot of people who weren't getting ready for church, and I thought, what opportunity. I'm looking at the harvest field, and it may look a little discouraging that they're not at church, but I kind of got encouraged about it because they can be at church. All it takes is the right invitation. Somebody telling them about the goodness of Jesus, and they go from being a person sitting on the sideline to getting involved. Amen. I'm going to go into the word of the Lord here, and I just hope to encourage you today to minister the word of the Lord where you would leave this place encouraged. I seen you walking, looking at me as I was walking up with this oar, and I'm not crippled, and I'm not going boating today, but and I'm not, to be honest with you, my wife probably looked at me like I'm crazy because I'm not much of a prop preacher. I probably use a prop once or twice throughout a year, and I'm in a guest speaker at a church, and I'm bringing a prop into the church, so we'll see how this works out. If I forget about this during my sermon, just remember I brought this out early on, okay? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Mark, And the story, the setting here, we'll turn to the book of Mark chapter 6. I'm not going to read the entire setting, but I'm actually going to read verse 48. But when you look at verse 38 starting, there's a story about Jesus ministering to a group of people. They were, they came to the time of the day where they got hungry. And anybody ever just been hungry? My pastor back in Florida was an awesome, dynamic preacher, but he would talk about food all the time. He would get about three-quarters of the way into his sermon, then he would start talking about filet mignon or some great, and I'm just like, Pastor, stop, I'm hungry. I'm not going to do that to you today. But the setting of Scripture, Jesus is ministering to people, and so there was about 5,000 or so folks there, and they were hungry, and they were divided up into different groups, and they begin to feed them. But I want you to drop down to verse 48. This is after the multitude had been fed. The Bible says, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For all they saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. I want you to drop down to verse 52. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. All of us have days and seasons and changing in our lives. Each one of you in your life have had moments of laughter and rejoicing and big moments of your life. And then you've had times and seasons where you have mourned and cried. And life is always changing. If you can, put your Bibles down for a moment. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we come before you in the precious name of Jesus. I pray today on this Sunday morning as I minister your word to your people in this great church, in this local assembly, God, I'm asking you, Lord, to help me, God, and open up their hearts and their ears to be receptive to the word today in the name of Jesus. Why don't you clap your hands one more time? Give the Lord some praise before you're seated. Amen. We praise you, Jesus. You can be seated. So there is a season for everything in life. There's seasons of winning and there's seasons of losing. There's seasons of setback and high seasons and low seasons and times when you're up and times when you're down. And when you're going through a rough season, sometimes you wonder, and the great times when God is doing miraculous things in your life or in the biggest, best moments of your life, you can see the handprint of God all over it. But then there's these other moments when you go through struggles and trials. You wonder, God, where are you in the middle of this? You see, the first part of the story, it's where Jesus is, he's ministering and he's feeding the multitude. And without question, this was a divine presentation of what God could do. The people seen it firsthand. The disciples seen it firsthand. But then there was a moment that was changing in their lives. That was orchestrated by Jesus himself. There are times in your life that you're going to go through some places that are going to be orchestrated by God. Don't give credit to the devil all the time. Sometimes God allows us to go through some rough times and rough seasons in our lives so he and he alone can get the glory for what he wants to do. Remember, when you're rowing, sometimes it's by divine instruction. God put you in that place in your life and in that season in your life, and God does not want you to give up in the middle of this when you're rowing and you're struggling and when you're going through different times. You see, they just experienced the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. I have seen, Brother Wells, some miraculous things of God, but I've never seen 5,000 people fed with just a handful of fish and a few loaves of bread. I've seen blind eyes open. And I've seen deaf ears unstopped, and I personally watched a dead person being raised from the dead. And I've seen the miraculous of God. But then I've also went through seasons of my life where I've questioned God, where are you at? And sometimes it's even after the greatest moments of life. It could be a Monday after you have a divine appointment with God at a church on a Sunday. And then Monday you wake up and you think, my God, what just happened? You see, when you understand that they didn't really want to be in this storm. Many of them were professional fishermen. They understood seasons. They didn't necessarily have a weather app on their iPhone that they could go look at. But they knew the weather. They knew that there was possibly a storm coming up. But they were defying the appointment that God had said, go out in the middle. Here's the deal. They were out in the middle. There was lightning flashing, booming. They weren't in a motorboat. They didn't have a 200-horsepower Yamaha in the back pushing. They were rowing. It's the way life feels like sometimes. God, where's my big engine at? But your destiny is to row for a little bit. They had oars. They were twirling. They were rowing against the wind. They were possibly thinking we could lose our lives. They were a little bit intimidated by this storm. I, for one, have been in the middle of some bad storms on a boat. My father and myself, when I was a young boy in Clearwater, Florida, we went out on a boat. My dad liked to get old boats and fix them up. Kind of runs with me. I like to tinker with things a little bit. So my dad wanted to fix this old boat up, and so we got the boat out, and boy, it took off, and it was doing real good, and we were having a good time. But you see, well, we weren't professional boatsmen. We didn't really know that much about it. My dad it was his first boat, I guess. And so we got out and we got underneath. Anybody ever been in around Clearwater, Florida? But there's this big bridge called the Sunshine Skyway. It's one of the tallest bridges in the world. and in the U.S. But when you get underneath the bridge, it's the gateway to the Gulf of Mexico. If you've ever been in the ocean, when the tide is going out, it goes out fast. Well, we're out there fishing close to the Sunshine Skyway, and all of a sudden, the boat that we turned the motor off, it wouldn't start. My dad's trying to drop an anchor. The tide's pushing too fast, and we were going out, and I started noticing my dad wasn't afraid of much. He was a very powerful man, but I started noticing he was getting a little bit nervous. And then a storm blew up, and it began to rain, and we were going the wrong direction with no motor. And we had one oar, one. And my dad, being one of the strongest men I'd ever met, grabbed that oar and began to paddle that boat. To this day, I don't know how it was happening, but at least he was holding ground. We weren't going any further out. We might not have been getting any closer to shore, but we weren't going any further out. We were toiling against the storm. And my dad said, "Son, you might want to pray now." I was a little boy. But I knew what it was like to be in an old-fashioned apostolic prayer meeting. I began to pray and say, "God, we need your divine help right now. God, I don't want to die today. Lord, help us in the middle of this storm." And it was just a little bit later that a big boat began to come by, and they looked over and they circled back around and threw us a lifeline and began to pull us back in. And I'll never forget that story. We didn't try to get in the middle of the storm, but we were in the middle of something that was bigger than us. Life and seasons have moments that feel like they're bigger than we are. You don't always have the answer for where you're at. You don't always even understand you are where you are, and you're wondering, "God, what is going on?" And you've seen the mighty works of God, and you've seen the mighty hands of God. Here's the real deal. When God allows you to go through a severe storm, the people that are still sitting on the shoreline eating fish and some French fries and some loaves of bread, God ain't calling everybody to go through the storm, but God called some people off the sideline and said, "Come off the sideline and get in the middle of the boat. We need to go to the other side." God might be calling some of you. You're not going to be sitting on the sideline just enjoying the pleasures of life. God's calling you in this moment and hour to get right in the middle of where he's asking you to be at. There's a divine appointment from God for somebody in this house today. Give the Lord some praise. Just a little bit earlier, there was a select few that was picked. When they get there, Matthew 14 records this story. When Jesus comes and he stops the storms, there were a few words that were spoken in Matthew 14. One of them proclaimed, "Thou art the Son of God." 2 chapters later, Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" One spoke up. Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." You see, there was beginning to be revelation of who this guy was. He was more than just a teacher. He was more than just a master. They were beginning to realize this was the God incarnated that they had heard about. They began to realize in the middle of their trials. You see, there had been some great miracles happening, but revelation began to happen in their storm. God will take you to the greatest places when you're going through rough times. Don't buck the rough times. Keep right on rowing. Don't give up in the middle of your storm. Don't give up in the middle of your trial. Don't give up in the middle when it's hard. God is going to bring you through. You see, Jesus is Lord of everything. He doesn't necessarily just show up in the most convenient times when we think he should be there. But there's moments in your life. So you see, there was lepers being healed. But he didn't show them Jesus, he was Lord at that moment. There was blinded eyes being opened, but they didn't necessarily recognize that he was Lord. When great things are happening in the assembly, we don't always identify with who he is. But when you walk out of this place and you go to your workplace or you go to your schoolhouse or you go back into somewhere you're going to be doing business at, or even in your home or in your personal finances, and you're looking at your checkbook and things aren't balancing out, that's when you'll realize in the middle of your crises who the Lord is. You'll understand who Jesus is in the rough moments of your life when he walks into the most desperate times of your life and speaks to you. They kept going. They kept pushing. Sometimes the wind is at your back. It feels like everything is going your way. That's great moments. Man, it's just, whoo, what a breeze. Praise God. Everything just floats your way. Just feels good. You wake up and you got a nice job and everything is, your bills are being paid and everything is wonderful. Your family's great. Your marriage is great. Your health is great. And all that's good and it's wonderful to praise God. And I would suggest that you celebrate in those moments. But when you get a report that you've just got cancer, or somebody in your life that you've depended on walks out on you, or something tragic begins to happen in your life, it is in some of those moments that when we get great revelation of who He really is. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, I am where I am by divine instruction. You see, God brought you to the place where you are in life, but by divine appointment. When you can't see Him, see, there's some simple things to this. They were out on the boat. They were about 3.5 miles out to sea. With a natural eye, you can't hardly see that far. They were looking for Him. They were looking for Him in the middle of the clouds. They were wondering when He was going to show up. But He saw them toiling and rowing 3 miles out. I said this on Twitter or Facebook yesterday. Our inability to see Jesus in the middle of our storms doesn't discredit His ability to see us. You may wonder, God, where are you at in the middle of this? But I promise you, my friends, He will never leave you or forsake you. He sees where you're at in the middle of your storm. He sees where you're at in the middle of your trial. He's wondering, are you not going to give up? Don't stop rowing. Don't stop toiling. Don't give up in the middle of the great moments of your life. He saw them. I'm sure there were some people on the boats complaining. Why did He send us out here? Did He not know it was going to storm? The thing that got Jesus' attention, if you don't get anything out of this sermon, the thing that got His attention was this. He saw them rowing. The thing that He looks for when you get in the storm of your life, are you not going to give up? Are you not going to quit? Are you not going to throw the towel in? Are you going to keep right on going? I'm going to stay with this thing. It may not look like much right now. I may not understand why I'm in this spot, but I will not give up. I'm going to keep right on, keeping on for Jesus. We need some Christians that's got their minds made up. There are times in your life where you're going to feel like you're abandoned. You're going to feel like you're disconnected. Sometimes you're going to feel out of the loop. I had a young lady in our church tell me and my wife a couple weeks ago. She said, Pastor, I've got to apologize. And by the way, this is a dynamic young leader in our church. And she kind of surprised me about what she said. She said, I've been feeling a little disconnected. I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, but my problem is I've connected myself to disconnected people. And I thought about that for a moment. You see, the people on the shoreline had become disconnected. But there were some people that heard the voice of God that said, get in that boat and go to the other side. You've got a choice to make in your life. You can hear the divine voice of God, or you can do what's easier. You can sit on the sideline and moan and groan and talk about how bad things are, or you can get in that boat and say, God, no matter what it takes, I'll keep rowing, I'll keep pushing, I'm going to get to the other side. I've got a divine appointment of you, Jesus. He's looking for somebody, some people that's not going to give up. He's looking for somebody to see the good in the situation. He's looking for somebody to see the positive places and circumstances. Anybody can see how bad things are. Get around some people. Negative people attract negative people. If you would just be honest with yourself, you know if you kind of have a negative sense of a personality type. But here's the thing. If you have one of those type of personalities,
Don't connect yourself to another negative person. They're going to pull you down. Find the most positive, energetic, Jesus-loving, soul-winning person that you can find in the church and connect yourself to that person. Somebody that's going to come to prayer meeting. Somebody that's going to show up on a work day at church. Somebody that's going to do the work and the will of God. Come on, clap your hands unto the Lord. I know I was meddling there a little bit, but that's just the pastor coming out at me. This is important. When rowing gets tough, there are times, places, and you're just going to go through some times in your life where you're wondering, can I get through this place? I remember, I think I was about 34 or 35, and I had considered myself one of the most mentally strong people. I was probably a critic a little too harshly on people who had panic attacks and anxiety attacks and depression or whatever, you know, and I would kind of think to myself, ah, they just need to suck it up and, you know, just tough it out. And all of a sudden, just in the, out of the blue, I thought I was having a heart attack. But I ended up going to the hospital and walked into this hospital and I had my wife on the phone and I'm thinking I'm dying. This is it. I'm going to die right here. And got to the hospital and I collapsed right there. And they rushed me back to the emergency room and they put me on these tests. And they said, no, your heart is fine and everything is fine. I'm like, well, I'm not feeling fine. I'm not feeling real good. I don't care what your tests say. I know I don't feel right. They went on through this thing a little bit. And they told me, they said, you're having some panic attacks. And I said, I don't have panic attacks. I mean, what is that? That's for weak people. I'm not weak. Well, you're having them. And I needed the Lord to minister because night after night, I was having sleepless nights. It would be 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I would wake up. I'm talking about wake straight up and jump out of the bed. And I just have these bursts. I don't know if anybody's ever had this before. And these bursts of energy. And my wife was like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I don't know. And I'd start pacing the house. And it was in the middle of those storms when I began to really find Jesus. You see, when everything was okay, when I could just self-fix myself, it was easy to serve God. I love coming to church. I'm a front row worshiper. I love being in the house of God. But it was in some of the moments that I couldn't know if I was ever going to get out of. And this didn't just last for a week or for a month or for 2 or 3 months. It went on for a couple years. But as I began to seek God, and God, am I going to make it through the storm? And I'll never forget. And if someone takes medication, I'm not knocking you for that. You've got to do what you feel like. That's between you and God and your doctor. But they gave me a bottle of pills to take, and I mean, I was upset about this, and I was reading, and the guy said, sir, this is antidepressants, but you're not depressed. We're giving you the same medication that's for anxiety, and man, I was looking at this bottle, and I stood there, tears just running down my face, and I said, Jesus, I'm broken. My storm is here. I need some help. I was rowing, but I wasn't going anywhere, y'all. I was rowing as hard as I could. But I wasn't. I was still going to work. I was still going to church. I was still raising my family. The only person that really knew my struggle and how deep it was my wife. It was a bad struggle. And I stood over this in the bathroom with this bottle of pills, and I said, God, I need some help. And I just made up my mind. I'm going to trust you. And I poured those pills out, and I didn't take them. But it didn't go away. I wish I could tell you a story that just said, man, the next day that God divinely touched me, and I was all good. I wasn't good the next day. And I wasn't good the following day or the following day after that. It was a slow healing, but God was bringing me through this. It took about a good 2 years before that feeling kind of went away. I can't explain how it came on exactly or how it left, but I know one thing. I was beginning to understand who Jesus was. In the middle of the biggest storm of my life, when I felt like everything was falling down around me, I screamed, Jesus! It was in those moments that I had to look back on some miracles of like the fishes and loaves. And there were people around me, and excuse me for my bluntness, but they still had some of the miracle on them. They still had some of the fish and loaves and chips and kind of on top of them. And the only way I could survive, I had to take some of their blessing a little bit. I, I'd have to reach over and get some of the leftover crumbs off of them and say, well, I've got to get through the storm. And you see, sometimes God is going to use you to minister to somebody else. You're in the middle of the same storm, but God is going to allow you to minister to somebody else in the middle of their crises, in the middle of their storm. People were ministering to me. Oh, they were going through some things themselves. And they were going through some places in their lives. But some of the leftover miracles, you see, maybe there's in your life been a loss of a job or maybe a bad x-ray or some bad news. But remember how faithful God's been. You look back on the last miracles. You look back on the last places of your life. As I get ready to close, you look back and you say, God, I remember that time. I remember that time. And even when you can't get it together, never forget the fact you're not seeing Jesus. Jesus is watching you. Jesus seen their faithfulness. Jesus seen them growing. Jesus knew they needed help. He showed up in the most desperate times of their life. They identified him. The Bible says he was passing by when they called out to him. Today, I believe Jesus is passing by this place. Some of you are in the middle of that storm I'm preaching about today. Some of you are in the middle of a place where your life feels train wrecked. Broken relationships. Things aren't going your way. You've been hurt. You feel like Satan maybe has been attacking you. But here's the one I'm going to promise you. Church, I need you to get this. We have authority in the name of Jesus. We have authority and power in the name of Jesus. You see, God will meet you in the middle of your storm. You keep rowing. And there's going to be a divine appointment where Jesus is going to show up on that stormy sea. Somebody's got to look across in that storm. I see Jesus. I see Jesus. There's a lot of people in life that just go through the motions. A lot of people. But somebody in your family's got to stand up and say, hey, I see Jesus. What if you're the one? What if it's you in the middle of the storm of your family that says, I see Jesus. I look back on the life of my family was a young family at the time. I was going through this storm. Tiffany was in high school. Trevor was in middle school. Rachel was in elementary school, and Brooke was just a baby. They needed their daddy to see Jesus. They didn't need me quitting. They didn't need me throwing in the towel. They needed me to pick up a row and keep right on rowing and said, I don't know why I'm in this store. God, I don't understand why I'm here, but God, you will show up. Maybe it's a grandparent for your children. Your grandchildren. You see, a miracle is within your grasp right now. You can reach out and get this. Can we stand across this building today? Just for a moment, can you close your eyes for a moment? I want to minister to you for a moment. I have felt for the last week and a half since I knew I was coming here, I've been praying and asking God. I couldn't get out of my spirit that there's somebody going to be there. Somebody's going to be in that house that needs to have a divine visitation from Jesus. The storm feels overwhelming right now. The boat feels like it's going to capsize. And you're wondering, is there ever going to be help come?
Let me give you a word from the Lord. Keep rowing. Don't give up. Don't throw the oar in. Don't throw the towel in. Jesus will show up. He will show up. Grandparents, if you've got a lost grandchild, the storms of life is overwhelming them. Maybe they're on drugs. Maybe there's some alcoholism. Parents, maybe you've got a child that's away from God and the storm seems so big. It seems so big. Is it possible? I stand before you today as a young man at a young age left God. I don't glorify my past, but for a lot of years I was away from God. But I, in the middle of my storm, my mother and father were in the middle of the storm, wondering, is there ever going to be any hope? I promise you, keep praying. Don't give up. I'm going to open these altars today. I would just ask if you would come to the front and just for a moment. There's a miracle within your grasp. When you can't see Him, He can see you. He can see you. He sees your storm. He sees your troubles. He sees your trials. Oh, God. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost touching somebody right now. Somebody is starting to see Jesus on the horizon of their storm. Somebody in this house is beginning to see Jesus appear over the horizon and knowing that God is going to rescue. Come on, if you have the Holy Ghost, I want you to pray. Pray till something breaks. If you don't have the Holy Ghost in this house, God is reaching for somebody. Come on, saints of God. Come on, I poured my heart out to you today. Jesus is showing up in your storm. Don't stop rowing. Don't stop rowing. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, fill this house. Come on, I feel it. Come on, God's reaching for you. You're not alone in this storm. You're not alone in this storm. Come on, saints of God. Come on, grandparents. Come on, parents. Lift your voices. Lift your voices.
Straight like no one.
Come on, He's waiting on you. He's waiting on you.
No other.
Hear the voice of God.
To me.
He's seeing you in the middle of the storm.
Yes.
Yes. Come on, why don't you reach over and find somebody to pray with for just a moment. There's a brother or a sister in this house that needs your
reaches to me.
They need your prayers.
Oh, in the fullness of your grace,
there's a miracle within your reach. Tears run down your face. God is reaching out today. Come on, there's a move of God happening in here.
You lift me up.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
Unfailing love.
Oh, Jesus.
Stronger than mountains.
Mighty God.
Deeper than oceans. Reaches to me.
Come on, invite Jesus onto the boat with you. Back onto the boat. Invite him back into your life. Invite him back into your life.
Oceans reaches to me.
Jesus.
You lift me up in the fullness of your grace, God, and in the power of your name, you lift me up, Jesus. You lift.
Just for one more moment, once you find somebody close to you, just reach over and grab them by the hand and pray in the Holy Ghost for just a minute.
You are my hope.
Come on, there's a divine appointment from God happening right here.
Hope like no one.
Come on, somebody will just be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. There's something about to happen right now.
Hope like
in the name of Jesus.
No one.
Oh, God.
Reaching.
Come on, pray with a moment of desperation. Pray with a moment of reaching for God.
In the fullness of your grace, God. And in the power of
storm for a long time.
He
sees you. This is the appointment for God. He's looking for you.
In the fullness of your grace, God.
Come on, it's been a long time.
Brother and sister Gift for ministry. A wonderful way. I couldn't help but think while he was ministering the word of the Lord. Sometimes it is the storm that is the source of our miracle. Because it is that storm in which Peter was a participant, in which he toiled with the others, rowed alongside his brothers. But it was also that same Peter who looked out on the waters and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee upon the water. In the midst of a storm, it was a source of a great miracle for Peter. He stepped out of the boat and walked on the water unto Jesus. Lord, help me in the midst of my storm to realize that it might just be the source of a great miracle. And help me, God. Help me not to abandon ship, God, not to give up, but to keep toiling.
You see, you know. One more time, can you lift your hands? Just a few moments, we're going to have the opportunity to take Ellie Campbell down in the name of Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, you need to understand that this scripture does not suggest, it does not make it optional. The scripture commands that we be baptized in the precious name of Jesus, and baptism doth now save us. And if I want to make heaven my home, then I need the name of the one who died for my sins. I need his name applied to my life. I need to be buried with him in baptism. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. And the only way that I put on Jesus Christ is to put on his name in baptism. For neither is there salvation in any other name, Acts 4:12. Under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, why don't you clap your hands? Why don't you lift your voice? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. As our Sunday school classes have made their way back up, and it's always appropriate, always right. And if you're praying in the altar, please feel free to continue to do so. If you'd like to gather towards the front as a witness of the wonderful work of God that's about to take place here in the next few moments as we baptize her in the name of Jesus, you may make your way towards the front right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Day in history, death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave, life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. Joy, perfect peace, earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. Oh, happy day, happy day. You washed my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be. Stand in that place, free at last, meeting face to face. I am yours, Jesus, you are mine. Endless joy and perfect peace, earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive, he's alive.
Happy day, I'll never be the same. Oh,
Bible tells us that there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. I wonder what's happening in the heavens right now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, why don't we join the angels in celebration? Why don't we let happen here on earth what's happening in the portals of glory right now, Lord Jesus? We thank you, Lord. We celebrate another added to your family, God, taking upon your name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. We're just so delighted on what the Lord is doing.
Yes, amen.
One more time, can you applaud the Giffords for being in service with us? Thank you for ministering to us in such a mighty way. Why don't you put your hands together and say thank you to the Lord for them. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. You may go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.